Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is the first Sports Saturday we've had in weeks where the sun is actually shining outside. We have had week after week after week after week of either rain or expecting snow and rain or clouds or it's cold and freezing and miserable. It's a beautiful morning. I got out this morning about 5:30, 6 o'clock. Absolutely gorgeous morning in Kansas City and across the Midwest. So I'm feeling good, feeling better. That seasonal affect disorder I talked about a couple of weeks ago might be gone, I hope. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running point today. Got a good show lined up for you. We're going to cover a lot of topics, including the NFL draft. We will do that. At 9:25, Clint Scholes from Baseball Prospectus is going to join us. Since the Royals' big league club is pretty much playing like garbage, and I'm fully on board with expecting a 100-loss season, we're going to talk with Clint about some of the young prospects in the Royal system who might be able to come up and help now, who we're looking at down the road. Good Twitter account to follow if you want to follow all the Royals' top prospects. So that'll be at 9:25. At 9:50, Cole Craig. Follow him on Twitter, at Chiefs Weekly, is going to come in and break down the Chiefs draft. Not blown away by the Chiefs draft selections, but not down on it either. So kind of a meh, eh, whatevs. Wait till we get to training camp and see how they go. So Cole Craig at 9:50. At 10:30, Kurt Heelan from NBCSports.com is going to join us. Talk NBA playoffs, some compelling stories last night in the NBA. Oklahoma City, gone. Season is over. The Utah Jazz are an emerging team with one of the great young players in the NBA on their team. Rookie of the Year candidate on their team. Coached by Quinn Snyder.
Hello, this is Quinn Snyder, yes. And you're listening to the best sports talk in Kansas City, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Who could be in the running for NBA Coach of the Year, Quinn Snyder. And then Russell Westbrook after the game being taunted by a fan. Well, he was taunted at halftime and kind of clapped back. That's what the kids call it, clapped back at a fan. And the fan took three steps back and went right back into his seat. And then after the game, a fan was holding a phone in the face of Russell Westbrook and saying something derogatory. Yeah, exactly. And it appeared that Westbrook either took a swipe at his phone or knocked that out of his hand. Look, Russell Westbrook is not a likable guy. I get that. But fans, look, just because a guy makes $15, $20 million a year doesn't mean you can berate. You should. You can. It's your free speech. Right. It doesn't mean you should berate a person incessantly, nonstop, and not expect a reaction. So no problem for me with Russell Westbrook's reaction. So we'll talk about that with Kurt Heelan. Also, the Pacers fighting back to level the series with the Cavaliers at 3-3. So they're going to a Game 7. I think LeBron James has ever lost a first-round series.
I think maybe his rookie year.
Maybe his rookie year. It's been that long. Been in the finals seven straight times. So Kurt Heelan at 10:30. At 11 o'clock, Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com will join us. Talk a little Sporting KC. Sporting at New England tonight. Sporting in first place in the Western Conference. Taking on New England. And that game will be live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB at 6:30. Nate Buchady on the call. Followed by the final whistle at 8:30 with Dave Borchardt. But Sporting KC. How about Johnny Russell, the MLS Player of the Week, your new fan favorite? Felipe Gutierrez was the fan favorite, what, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago? Five goals in his first five games, got a little injury, missed a game, played a few minutes of the other game, but Johnny Russell's been on a tear. There you go. Hat trick last weekend. MLS Player of the Week, Johnny Russell. So we'll talk about that with Andy Edwards at 11 o'clock. All right, we'll start with the Chiefs draft here. And if you want to weigh in, you can do that. We have open phone lines until 925, 913-3810-810. That's 913-3810-810. Before I get too much into the Chiefs picks, this is what I'll tell you. I'm heartbroken about the Chiefs draft, and this is why. Purely personal on my part, I've been rooting so hard for the Chiefs to trade up and get Josh Jackson, the defensive back corner from Iowa. Watch a lot of Iowa football, okay? Big Ten Network is awesome. Better than the Longhorn Network. Yeah, I'm going to cry about it. Better than the Longhorn Network, the Big Ten Network is. But Josh Jackson, 8 interceptions last year for Iowa. Led the nation. Big wins against Ohio State. Should have beat Penn State if it wasn't for Saquon Barkley coming back on his half a leg to beat him. But I really wanted the Chiefs to trade up and get Josh Jackson. Losing Marcus Peters, not comfortable with where the Chiefs sit with their corner slot. Okay, the trade with Washington brought back a pretty good corner. Got it. He's a slot corner, not an edge corner. Really wanted that edge corner. Really wanted it to be Josh Jackson. In my mind, one of the top, probably the top two or three most talented corners in the draft. So I'm sitting there watching the draft, like most of you, and waiting for the trade up, waiting for the news. Chiefs trade up! And in my mind, they're trading up to get Josh Jackson. That was in my mind. Waiting for the announcement to come that the Chiefs have traded up. Waiting. Picks 33, 34, 35, 36. I'm like, all right, he's still there. Josh Jackson is still there in the 30s. Okay. 40, 41, 42. Still waiting. And happy, by the way, that there was a run on centers and wide receivers and running backs and linebackers and every position that was not Josh Jackson. 44, Dante Pettis, wide receiver, goes to the 49ers. I'm like, all right, it's a good spot. This is a good spot to weasel in here. You're at 45 right now on the board. 45 is due up. Just announce it. Chiefs trade up and get Josh Jackson. Perfect. Awesome. Good for me because I'm a Josh Jackson and an Iowa fan. Good for the Chiefs because they're getting one of the top corners in the draft, and you're getting him a little bit lower than where he was predicted to go, as high as mid-20s the first round. So now you're at 45. I'm thinking, all right, here's the spot. Make the announcement. Chiefs trade up. Josh Jackson, make the announcement. I put it out on Twitter. Look, if the Chiefs trade Josh Jackson, I will buy an authentic game jersey. I never have because I can't afford it. I looked it up. They're, what, $149? Pretty expensive.
I think you could probably afford it, Brad.
BP doesn't lay out cash like that. I just referred to myself in the third person by my initials.
Yeah.
That's the kind of role I'm on right now. But I was willing to find a way to do it, to get the money. Buy my kids the t-shirt jerseys, the shirzies. Josh Jackson. 45. Trade up. Make the announcement. Do it. Nope. 45, the Green Bay Packers come up, and they get Josh Jackson. Instinctive corner, comparisons to Richard Sherman, elite ball skills. Excels more in the Iowa-type zone, okay, but clearly athletic and talented enough to move into the Chiefs system, learn their man-to-man, learn the press coverage, and be a guy. Not just be a player. Be a guy. If you know what I'm talking about. Be a guy. Go get the football. Especially in this division. Especially not having Marcus Peters. Not coming through that door anymore. So Josh Jackson has gone at 45 to the Packers. Then the announcement comes. The Chiefs trade up. For me, one pick too late. They go and get Breland Speaks, defensive tackle from Ole Miss. Not exciting in my book. didn't blow the barn doors off in my book. Didn't make me think, here's a game changer. And look, let's be honest about this. And I can't speak for all radio guys. I'll speak for myself. I can't sit here and tell you today Breland Speaks is going to be an all-pro. I can't tell you that Breland Speaks is going to be a bust. I can't tell you if Breland Speaks is just going to be a guy who plays a handful of plays a game his rookie season, or he makes a major impact. Nobody knows that. I'm just telling you, it doesn't blow the doors off. All right? Chiefs traded up to get him. It was probably a reach. I believe Brett Veach even said he's probably a third-round guy. We traded up in the second to get him. Probably a reach. But if he's the guy, if Brett Veach and his staff, watching all the video, going to the combine, going to the Senior Bowls, going through all the film, all the tape, all the numbers, all the measurables, if they feel like this is the guy they really wanted, good for them for trading up and getting him. Maybe somebody else had him valued the same way. I don't know. I just think it was a little bit high. He's going to be a project, and I'm going to get the scouting report here from my good friend Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News, who was tweeting all night. He goes through a lot of tape, does a lot of analysis. So here's what Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, had to say about Breland Speaks, defensive tackle from Ole Miss, who can play some linebacker, too. Play some linebacker, play some defensive tackle. Nick Jacobs on Breland Speaks has a lot of work ahead of him in his lower body strength, pass rush moves, exploding into a defender, and having a plan to counter if it doesn't work. The heart and attitude are there, but he has some work ahead. Which I think you can say about every draft pick. They have work. They all have work ahead. It's a different ballgame. If you're the number one overall pick, Baker Mayfield, you're not walking into camp the most confident guy in the world.
Yeah, well, but I think Baker Mayfield.
Well, Baker Mayfield probably is. He's got work to do.
What did Nick say about Breland Speaks' motor? Is he a high motor guy?
The word motor was not used.
What about is he good in a phone booth? I'm just thinking of all the other popular draft terms that are total cliche and don't make any sense, really.
No. Heart and attitude are there. That's what he said. That's what Nick Jacobs said. By the way, if you want to share your thoughts about the Chiefs draft or anything else, you can do that. 913-381-0810. 913-381-0810. So Breland Speaks doesn't blow the doors off, but we'll see. Probably a guy that's a depth guy, unless he can work his way in.
Which is kind of concerning. I know that the Chiefs were able to get a difference maker in the second round with Chris Jones. I know that people have varied perception. I don't necessarily think he's the superstar that some do. He's a good player. But I'm sitting here reading more about Speaks, and one of the grades here says negatives. Moved all over the place for Ole Miss, but never found eye-popping production at any spot. Limited player who was likely to end in play only in a 3-4 scheme, and he was ejected from two games for playing with too much emotion. So,
well, look,
I'm not saying that he's going to be a bust by any means, but it is kind of a troubling trend when in the second round, Brett Veach, it would appear is trending to take with last year Tano Passanio, and then this year with Breland Speaks, more project-oriented guys. And if you're moving up to get those kind of guys, maybe you see great value. But in a team, at least in my mind, that's ready to win, I'm not sure if that's the appropriate strategy.
And who's the defensive line coach for the Chiefs?
That would be
Britt Reid.
Yeah, Britt Reid, Andy Reid's son.
Yeah.
No nepotism.
None. It's not how the NFL works.
Right.
NFL's about merit. NFL's merit-based business in coaching.
Unless you happen to be someone's son.
Or friend or buddy or college friend or former teammate.
Yeah.
After you get through all of that, then...
completely.
You can get in.
Yeah.
Then you can break through the glass ceiling. I don't know if Britt Reid is the best development guy in terms of defensive line talent. But
why would you even question it? You've seen the production here in Kansas City firsthand.
Actually, no, I haven't.
Oh, right. That's right. That's why we're complaining about it.
So maybe there's another coach on the staff that you trust a little bit more. I don't know. You're a defensive line coach. Yeah, you're in charge, but there's also NFL teams have 25 coaches now.
Yeah, at least.
You have your interior assistant, your exterior assistant, your linebackers coach, then your inside and outside assistant, then your defensive backs coach, and then the guy who specializes in corners, and the guy who specializes in safeties, and
defensive coordinator, defensive quality control. Yes. There's a bunch of different avenues.
So I think you're right. This to me looks like a project player. And for a Chiefs defense that struggled as much as it did last year, I'm not sure project player is what I like in seeing all the scouting reports. Doesn't have a defined position. The positive is he plays a lot of spots. The negative, wasn't good enough at any one of them to nail one down. It's like your utility guy in baseball. I love Whit Merrifield.
He's actually good enough to nail down a spot.
He's good enough to nail
down
second base, yes.
The Royals don't.
You look at other guys. Remember you remember Shane Halter back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
I love Shane Halter. Shane Halter, I still see him around town. Good guy. Utility guy. And good at playing every position, but not great. Not the guy you send out every day to be your shortstop. Not the guy to play every day at second base. Guy plays you one day here, one day there, giving guys days off. Same with the Chiefs draft. And by the way, Shane Halter, if you're listening, not a slam. Love you, man. You know that. Played a long time in the major leagues. Played all nine positions, by the way. In fact, I think he did them all in one game once. Maybe for the Tigers? When they were really bad? So I don't like the project player in the second round on defense. That's why I really wanted Josh Jackson. I think he's NFL ready. And there's other corners still available today. And I'm looking at the list put out by Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. He's been putting up a list every day. Here's the players who fit the Chiefs best. Not necessarily the best players, but the players available who fit the Chiefs best. So I'm looking at Nick Jacobs' list of available corners who fit the Chiefs best going into day three of the draft. He's got to look at Tavarius McFadden, Florida State, who he had originally ranked eighth. So Tavarius McFadden, Florida State, keep an eye on. DJ Reed from K-State, good fit, although he's more of a slot corner. Might be able to find a way to fit. Holton Hill at Texas, Jordan Wyatt, SMU, and Mike Joseph, Dubuque. Now, if Nick Jacobs is scouting enough to know guys from Dubuque, he's putting in some homework. Dubuque.
You're not big on the Dubuque football?
I haven't watched a lot of Dubuque football, to be honest with you.
I'm not sure why.
I don't know if it's on my cable package.
Really?
The same cable package that did not allow me to watch Jazz and Thunder on Saturday. It's blacked out.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was awesome. Between the cable company and the NBA, could not watch a playoff game between the Thunder and the Jazz. I pay for the NBA TV channel. Apparently the Thunder have a deal with Fox Sports Midwest, which that night featured Royals baseball. And because Royals baseball was on, and they have protection in Oklahoma City, apparently in Kansas City, NBA TV, their channel, blacked out that game. Blacked it out. What am I paying for?
I don't know. Brad, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Have you downloaded the Fox Sports
let's
Go
do that today.
Mobile
let's,
app?
Let's do that
because
today.
Because you could have watched Royals. You could have watched Thunder.
But my point is, and I'll download Fox Go. We talked about it. I'll do that. But I pay the cable company a solid amount of money to have the games that I want to watch. And my cable company didn't have it. I don't want to say who I have because for various reasons. But I did get a tweet from somebody who said Google Fiber had it. So maybe Google Fiber should be an option for me. I don't know.
It is in your hood.
It is. I do have it. It is available.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it. It's available.
Right.
So maybe that's what I'll do. I'll take suggestions. Let me know what cable system you have or satellite or whatever way you have of accessing games and television, let me know which ones you like.
Let's do that over Twitter. Make sure and tweet
@BradKPorter
because we have guests coming up and a lot of other stuff.
I'm not taking calls on that.
Don't waste my time with that nonsense.
Not taking calls on that. If you want to tweet me @BradKPorter, tell me what cable system you have because I'm not happy. Not happy with that. And there were other games that were blacked out or I couldn't get. Whenever they put like Sporting KC on Fox Sports Plus, when they get bumped for the Royals, I'm out.
Fox Sports Go.
Fox Sports Go app. I got that. I know. But I'm paying the cable company to have a sports package. I have an extensive sports package. And I don't have Fox Sports Plus. Can't watch Sporting on my cable system. It's infuriating. So back to the NBA, NFL draft. Breland speaks 46th overall. And the rest of the AFC West is clearly loading up on defensive linemen and linebackers and safeties and corners because they know what's coming with Pat Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Kareem Hunt. So the rest of the Chiefs' first round at 73, Derek Nnadi, defensive tackle, who NFL.com, their analyst, says, one of the best run defenders in all of college football, has great eyes. I like that. Okay. At 75, getting a guy that's one of the best run stoppers in college football for a team that cannot stop the run or couldn't stop the run? I'll take that.
I'm a little bit more skeptical. Playing at Florida State, you presume that he has a bunch of talent around him.
Right.
And I know that, what people were seeing and or saying and what I was reading is that he did make some tackles for losses and I think had 6.5 sacks last year. But, again, you're taking a guy whose biggest, I guess, attribute is that, well, he takes up two blockers, and that's going to free up Reggie Ragland and Anthony Hitchens to make all these tackles. You're like, all right, I understand that the defense has to play in concert and it all works together. But, again, I know it's third round,
right?
But not a ton of sizzle right there.
Well, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, says this about Derek Nnadi. To sum up Derek Nnadi, he is a two-gapping run stuffer. He can take on the doubles, as you mentioned, Jed, maintain the line of scrimmage. Once he gets to the NFL, strength will be he's tough to move. He's not going to be huge for the pass rush at this time. Also, has some flashes in the pass rush. Part of that will be getting taught proper rush moves, getting confidence in his strength. But he's a run stuffer, first and foremost. Nunez Roaches, who the Chiefs brought back yesterday, and Williams can rotate on the pass portion. So I like that. And then the final pick, Dorian O'Daniel. Essentially, pass coverage, kind of like Derek Johnson in his prime, according to Nick Jacobs. He can cover a tight end, a back, a receiver, say stride for stride athletically, comfortable dropping back into zone, and a natural at it, and is close to being a DJ-like player before DJ had the Achilles injuries. Speed to keep up on the perimeters, shut down the sub packages, also cover a slot receiver if needed. I like that. That's a good breakdown of O'Daniel, the third of the Chiefs picks on day two. And now it is day three. Draft special today, by the way, with Danny Klinkscale at 3 o'clock. All right, we will take get ready to take a quick timeout here. When we come back, we'll talk a little Royals baseball, but not the depressing kind. Royals lost 7-4 last night in 11 innings because they keep pitching to Matt Davidson, who has 7 home runs in Kauffman Stadium already this season, which is a new record for an opposing player having home runs in Kauffman Stadium. Amazing. It's April 28th. The record's broken April 27th, 2018. So we're not going to depress you with too much of the big league club talk, but some of the young guys coming up are off to good starts down in the minors. And Clint Scholes from Baseball Prospectus is going to join us and talk about those young guys. Who's flashing early? Who's showing signs of progressing? Who's getting promoted? Who are guys Royals fans can look forward to seeing? So we'll do that coming up next. Still to come, Cole Craig from Chiefs Weekly going to join us, talk about the draft. Kurt Heelan from NBCSports.com on the NBA playoffs. And Andy Edwards at 11 talking Sporting KC at New England tonight, which you can hear live at 6:30 here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, time for a quick break. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is producing. We'll be back right after this, live from the Rally House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm your host, Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running the board today. Beautiful spring day in Kansas City. Finally, it feels good to be outside, even if it's early in the morning. I was out about 5:30, and it was, you know, what, upper 40s, lower 50s. You still walk out with a t-shirt because it just feels good. It's not freezing cold. It's not raining. It's not snowing. If you got your kids' events today, if you have soccer games or if you have a track meet, I happen to have both. It's going to be a great day to be outside. We're talking Chiefs draft. We're talking Royals baseball. We're going to talk NBA later. We're talking Sporting KC later. Good lineup today all around Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coming up in about 20 minutes, Cole Craig, follow on Twitter at Chiefs Weekly, is going to join us to break down the draft a little bit more. At 10:30, Kurt Heeland, NBCSports.com, will join us and talk NBA playoffs. And then at 11 o'clock, Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com will join us, talk Sporting KC at New England. You can hear that game live tonight at 6:30 here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, followed by The Final Whistle with Dave Borchert at 8:30. Royals baseball. We're waiting on Clint Scholes right now from Baseball Prospectus to kind of talk about some minor leaguers, guys who could be coming up soon, guys who are a little bit further away, some project guys. But the major league team is very frustrating. And to be honest, I don't know what the HE double hockey sticks is going on. Looking at last night's game, another loss, 7-4. And Matt Davidson, yes, that Matt Davidson, is absolutely killing the Kansas City Royals. Don't know who he is, don't know much about him. Plays for the White Sox. His first call up to the big leagues was 2013 with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Played 31 games. Then he did not get back to the majors until 2016 when he played one game for the White Sox. Then last year, pretty much a full-time player, played 118 games, hit 26 home runs, 68 RBIs. Slash line of 220, 260, and 442 with a 712 OPS. A war of negative 1.0. What has he done against the Royals this season, you say? What is today? April 28th through April 27th. Matt Davidson, 7 home runs against the Royals. Not just 7 home runs against the Royals, 7 home runs against the Royals at Kauffman Stadium. That is already a new record for an opposing player for home runs hit in Kauffman Stadium. Did that through April 27th. He was a 220 hitter last year. This year, hitting 237 with a 356 OBP and a slug of 632. 9 home runs this season, 7 at Kauffman Stadium. Look, should you be afraid of a 220, a 230 hitter? No. Should you try to be aggressive? Sure. Are there times when you just tip your cap and say, this guy's killing us, and stop throwing anything hittable to him? I think so. There's enough evidence. 7 home runs through April 27th at Kauffman Stadium. That's enough evidence for me that your staff doesn't know how to pitch to him or attack him, or is making bad pitches to him in bad spots. I looked up his hot zone right down the middle. Up and in, also another hot spot for Matt Davidson. But he cannot be stopped by the Royals pitching staff. And it led to another loss last night. 7-4. Tied up, going to the top of the 11th. And Matt Davidson hit his 2nd home run of the game, this time off Tim Hill, who's actually pitched okay this year. His ERA is below 4, and if you're in the Royals bullpen and your ERA is below 4, that's pretty good. Same with Brad Keller. Another home run for Matt Davidson, 7-4. And I thought it was telling. I was talking about this earlier today with somebody. And Brother Patrick, I'm going to get you in just a second here. I thought it was interesting earlier today. And last night I was hanging out, birthday party for a friend of mine. And we were talking, about, are you going to buy tickets? Are you still going to games? Yeah, I'm still going to go to games. I love Major League Baseball. I love the Royals. But they're making it easy not to. And my feeling about the Royals was kind of summed up in a Ned Yost press conference the other night. A reporter asked Ned Yost about the struggles. Ned Yost says, what's our record? Is it 5-16 or 5-17 at the time? And Ned Yost's response to that was, oh, well, good. I thought we were 5-20. We're not as bad as I thought. And that kind of summed up the way I feel. I'm not interested in looking at the Royals' record because it's awful. It's 5-19 now. I would rather forget it. I would rather forget the record. I would rather not know the record. I would rather be Ned Yost and not know the team's record. Put my head down. Get through this season, hopefully develop some young guys, get some trades for some more young guys. That's how this season feels right now. When Ned Yost said, good, I thought we were 5-20, we're not as bad as I thought. That's the way I feel. I would rather not know the record. All right, we'll take a couple of calls. 913-3810-810, that's 913-3810. 3-810-810. Let's go to Brother Patrick on line 3. Brother Patrick, you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Right, what's up?
Brother Porter, I'm listening. First of all, for the Ross, I wish them the best. That's about all I'm going to say.
That's about all you can say.
Okay. Now, for the Chiefs, I know they say defense wins game, help you get to the Super Bowl, but I think we need at least one more good wide receiver. And maybe two.
Yeah, I was asked today about a wide receiver if the Chiefs want to get somebody late on day three or maybe even a free agent pick. And somebody asked me about the Pringle kid from K-State. I think he'd fit in great with the Chiefs because anytime you get a player from K-State, whether it's a wide receiver in the case of Pringle or particularly linemen and linebackers, they're well-coached players in college. They're disciplined players in college. Bill Snyder does not suffer fools.
Oh, no.
And Byron Pringle, if you've seen his tape, and I've seen his games, but if you look at his tape too, good route runner, disciplined guy, and great hands. So, if he's available later and the Chiefs feel they want another wide receiver, I'm totally down with that.
Hey, yes, if it's available when we come up to sign again. Now, let me ask our producer. They said last night on the broadcast here, the national guys, what's the Oakland Raiders late owner's name there?
Al Davis.
Al Davis.
Yes, they said Mr. Al Davis must be back because they drafted a wide receiver that's known for speed, but they don't know if he can catch the ball. So I asked the producer, can he tell me this guy's name and where he went to school? That's all today. Thank you. I'm going to keep listening, though, on WHB.
Thank all right. You. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. I'm looking up the Raiders draft right now and all the guys they took.
I think he might be referring to Martavius Bryant, who they acquired
from the
Pittsburgh Steelers, who is one of the best receivers in the NFL when he's on the field. He's not on the field all that often. He's been suspended for his full season for off-the-field issues. I guess we'll leave it at that. But a super productive player when on the field, but not always available.
Fits the Raiders.
A little bit. I mean, not necessarily what the Raiders had been. I guess bringing Gruden back is certainly... I don't know. I guess more the same old Raiders, I guess.
Right.
Say.
Well, I particularly liked, and Brother Patrick, thank you very much for the phone call. I did like the Raiders taking in the first round, number 15 overall, Colton Miller. I really like that pick for the Raiders because he's injured a lot. I don't. When that pick was made, I was shaking my head. I mean, good for Colton Miller, but also good for the Chiefs. I just don't think he's going to be available a lot. I mean, they want to build up the most expensive offensive line of football again. Good. Keep picking injured guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't have such a disdain for people, Brad. I'm more caring than you.
No, it's the Raiders.
I'm being a smart aleck. You know, I don't care about people.
Smart ass Saturday. That's what we'll call the show.
Hey, it's my birthday. I can do whatever I
please. That's right. How old are you today? How young are you today?
35.
35. All right. You're heading towards. You're now. There's all these landmarks in your life.
You know? No, I'm middle-aged. I'm old. I get it.
Yeah.
Update on Clint Scholes. His phone's now off, so I'd assume we're probably not going to have him.
Okay. All right. Sorry, Clint.
Beauty of live radio.
Maybe I offended you. I don't know. Well, in place of Clint Scholes, let's go to David on line two who wants to talk about the Royals. David, you're on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. What's up?
I just would like to know if you think – now is a good time to trade Moustakas with him being super hot. And
Somebody asked me that last night. I don't think the April-May trade market is going to be all that hot unless you get a Yankees or a Red Sox or a Giants or an Angels team that has a big injury at third base for a player they're going to miss for a long period of time. I just don't think the trade market in April-May is going to be that hot. But if another team gets hot and they don't feel comfortable at third base, maybe. I still think it's going to be a June-July thing. And let me tell you this, David, and I'll ask you. With the depression in salaries over the last offseason, I'm kind of thinking teams aren't going to be too high on giving up top prospects anymore. I think they're going to cut back on the level of prospects they're willing to give up unless they really think they're going to run to a World Series. I don't know.
The Yankees sure seem like a good fit.
Well, they've got Gleyber Torres.
Yeah, Gleyber Torres just got called up about a week ago.
Yeah, he just got called up, and they're not gonna block him. I mean, if Torres struggles, and they think Moose can get him over the finish line over the last 3 months of the season, maybe at that discounted price. But something would have to happen. There'd have to be an injury or something. But yeah, I think Moose would be a good pickup.
Okay.
All right, David, hey, thank you very much for joining us here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Yeah, the trade market for Moose, I don't think heats up until June or July. It's not. I don't think it's going to be an April-May thing. The trades you see in April and May are for second-tier players or bullpen guys or minor leaguers. You don't see a lot of movement with name players in April and May. You just don't. So, David, I appreciate your phone call. Let's go to Matt on line three. Matt, you're on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. What's up?
Guys, what's up? This is Matt.
Hey, Matt, what's going on? It's all yours.
Hey, I first of all, just want to say, love the show. Random fact, I know today is Jed Marshall's birthday, the producer. I've actually known Jed since first grade. I kid you not. We grew up in the same neighborhood.
Okay.
One of the best men I know.
Okay.
Jed, happy birthday.
Thank you, Matt.
I wanted to talk some NBA, guys. I wanted to know who you were thinking might win the East. We got the 76ers, Raptors, and if you think the Cavs will advance, and if they do, whoever wins the East, do they stand a chance against the Warriors and the Rockets in the West?
I'm not seeing it so far.
No,
I don't.
Personally, Matt, I think that the Sixers have the best chance of advancing. I know that the Raptors are the number one seed, and I like the way that they play. I just don't think that they have enough to compete with the Sixers in the East. You know, with Saric, obviously you have Simmons and Embiid. They're just too imposing. I know that the bench is where they kind of lack, I don't know, the ability to really run, you know, 8-9 guys out there. But to me, I think Cleveland will advance, but I think they're going to be too tired to go up against a young Sixers team. They also don't play defense. In the West, yeah, I think it's Warriors-Rockets. I actually think the Rockets are going to come out of there and going to win the title.
Right on. So you think the 76ers aren't too young? You think they're going to do it this year?
I think that they're entering into their prime. I know that LeBron James is the best player on the planet, so it's hard to pick against him. But I also think that with Ben Simmons running point at 6'10", 6'11", he's going to give LeBron James fits and wear him down defensively. I know that, like I said, LeBron is a great defender and one of the best players on the planet. I just think that they're going to be too much. The Cavs don't play any defense. They
haven't all year.
Yeah, right? they have no defensive structure. And with two guys who can handle the ball and stretch the floor, I just see him being too much for the Cavs. Sorry, Rob. Fast talking, Rob.
If the Pacers are pushing the Cavs to a Game 7 in Round 1,
right?
How do they hang with the Sixers?
Well, and they have Bojan Bogdanovic, who is kind of a stretch player,
right?
And the Sixers have two of those guys.
Right.
What are they really going to do at that point?
And who knew? Unless you follow the NBA on a daily basis, you probably don't know a lot about Bogdanovic, but he's been awesome.
Really good.
Yeah.
And Victor Oladipo's been a boss, turning into one of the best players in the NBA.
From last night.
Yeah, he's really good.
Unbelievable. And he was that was the last. People laughed about Oladipo at the beginning of the season. What are the Pacers doing? Oladipo. He's been a stud.
It was an awesome move by the Oklahoma City Thunder. Getting rid of him as a Thunder fan. Great job.
Yes. All right.
All right,
Matt,
I appreciate
your phone call. Thank you very much. And thanks for the birthday wishes for our man, Jed Marshall. We should play the birthday song montage some point during the show. You know, like the Beatles song, you say it's your birthday, or the 50 Cent.
Yeah, I know that Jake has that somewhere. I don't like stealing all of the Border Patrol stuff, only some
of
it.
We can pick one birthday song. How about that? You pick your birthday song.
Maybe. I don't know. I already picked with Bouncing Around the Room for my birthday theme.
All right. All right, still to come on the show, speaking of the NBA, Kurt Heelan from NBCSports.com is going to join us, talk some NBA at 10:30. At 11 o'clock, Andy Edwards, also from NBCSports.com, going to join us and talk Sporting KC at New England tonight. You can hear it live at 6:30 here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coming up next, already in studio, already ready to go, laptop open, phone locked in to all the notes, our man Cole Craig. Follow him on Twitter, at Chiefs Weekly. We'll talk about the draft. So that's coming up next. Want to get all the insights about the Chiefs draft and the AFC West and all that good stuff. That is coming up for you. You are listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter, broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. Jed Marshall is running the show on an absolutely gorgeous spring day in Kansas City and across the Midwest. Still to come on the show at 10:30, Kurt Heelan, NBCSports.com, will join us, talk a little NBA playoffs, and Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com will join us and talk Sporting KC at New England. That game's at 6:30 tonight. You can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati on the call. At 12:30 this afternoon, Danny Klinkscale will be in-house with the KU football special. And then at 3 o'clock, Danny with the NFL draft special. Then at 4 o'clock, Danny with Baseball Tonight, looking at Royals White Sox and maybe whether or not the Royals should stop pitching to Matt Davidson since he has 7 home runs at Kauffman Stadium already. All right, we're going to go back to the Chiefs draft now. Cole Craig has been nice enough to join us here in studio. He was here a couple of weeks ago getting ready for the draft, and now he's back. We're analyzing the Chiefs Day 2, since they didn't have a draft pick on day 1. Follow Cole on Twitter, at Chiefs Weekly. So, Cole, different ideas, thoughts about who the Chiefs drafted. So the Day 2 draft picks traded up to get Breland Speaks, who is listed by some folks as a defensive lineman, defensive tackle. The Chiefs drafted him as a linebacker. So traded up to get him at 46. Then at 75... Chiefs take a defensive tackle, Derek Nnadi, and then out of Florida State. And then at number 100, the final pick of the third round, Dorian O'Daniel, linebacker out of Clemson. Let's start with Breland Speaks, as he's a guy, for me, doesn't blow the barn doors off. Didn't really nail down a position at Ole Miss. The Chiefs like him as a linebacker. He's, what, 275? That's a big...
I've got him at 285.
285? That's a big cat for a linebacker.
Big guy, yeah.
So you had a list of 69 players going into day two that the Chiefs should have on their radar, and he was on. All three of these guys were on your radar.
They actually were, yeah.
So Breland Speaks, why was he on your radar for the Chiefs, and what skills and what strengths does he bring, as well as the weaknesses that he may have?
Well, he's definitely versatile. I mean, he lined up all over the field, and,
right.
And that's a positive for me, for sure. The downside to me with Speaks is I don't look at Breland Speaks as a 3-4 outside linebacker, which I think that you could make the argument that was their biggest need heading into the draft, that or maybe corner. And Andy Reid yesterday made a Tamba Hali comparison with Breland Speaks in terms of the way that he plays and all of that. I didn't think Tamba Hali was a 3-4 outside linebacker back in 2009 when the Chiefs shifted to a 3-4, and that ended up working out.
Going to be a Chiefs Hall of Famer.
So there's definitely a chance that it could work. I like all three of the guys that they took. There's no question about that.
That makes me feel a little better, because I was meh last time. I was whatever.
I like all three.
Okay.
My issue is two trade downs. Anyone that follows me on Twitter knows I tweeted out multiple times over the last couple of days, don't trade up.
Okay.
And they trade up twice. Now, last year, the Chiefs traded up four separate times in the draft. So to me, that means that you can't continue to do that. You can't continue to just jump up and limit your options. It puts more pressure on the picks that they're making. They used three draft picks to draft Kareem Hunt last year. Thank God he worked out.
Right.
And to me, I look at like Derek Nnadi, definitely one of the better run stuffers in the draft. Fills a big position of need. I think you can rotate him with Xavier Williams, who they picked up this offseason, and have a pretty nice combo. Nnadi actually reminds me a little bit of Benny Logan.
Okay.
Who they let walk. I think they got a cheaper Benny Logan, which is not bad. But when you break it down and realize, well, they used a fourth-round draft pick to trade up in the third round to get him. And think about the kind of player that you can make a trade for in the offseason if you're giving up a third and a fourth-round pick.
Right.
So when I look at Nnadi, I don't look at them taking him at, was it 75?
Right.
I don't look at that at face value at 75. I'm looking at that as 75 and 124. Is he worth that? I don't know. To me, my main concern with the Chiefs draft is they traded up twice, and Brett Veach has shown that he is impatient and he doesn't let the draft fall to him. To me, if I'm a veteran guy who moves around like Bill Belichick or Ozzie Newsome, one of these guys that just move up and down the draft all over the place, Brett Veach is my patsy. He's my pigeon. He's the guy I'm calling if I want to make a move down because he's got. I assume he's just got late round picks burning a hole in his pocket right now that he's just desperate to get rid of. So I hope they don't trade up any more. As a matter of fact, I'd like to see them grab an extra late round pick or two today.
Okay.
They can trade down in the fourth. I'd be totally okay with that. You've got teams with a lot of day three picks that might be wanting to move up themselves at this point. Chiefs might want to consider trading down because, as far as I'm concerned, they still need to draft two corners.
Right.
I certainly wouldn't mind them adding another tight end to the mix. They could use an interior offensive lineman. So there's four. And then there's also a couple of wide receivers from Texas Tech who have some familiarity with Pat Mahomes that I wouldn't mind seeing them bring in either, one of the two.
So you're against the trading up, which I totally get. So you have to think in Brett Veach's mind, because this is a game of Texas Hold'em. You don't know the two cards the other guys have, what they're looking at, what they want to do, if they're bluffing. So he must really believe that not only is Breland Speaks the guy they wanted, but they must have thought somebody else did too. In the guessing game of the draft, he must have believed someone else was going to try to get him before he got to 54.
Exactly, and to me, even if Speaks works out, I'm a little bit concerned about the tunnel vision of Brett Veach, because say Breland Speaks goes at pick 49 or pick 50 or something like that. You're telling me that there's not two or three other pass rushers that you also really like that you could that you could just stay right there at 54 and get? That's the thing that bothers me a little bit. I like the aggressiveness that he's shown in the offseason, but in the draft, I think that in the draft it's a game of patience and it's a game of numbers. And right now the Chiefs aren't playing either of those games particularly well, so I hope the guys that they took, again, I like all three. I hope they work out.
Is Breland Speaks a project guy? I mean, you said he can come in and kind of with Xavier Williams and be kind of a Benny Logan type player, but is he a...
Well, that's Nnadi.
Or Nnadi, pardon me.
Nnadi.
But going back to Breland, is he a project?
Maybe a little bit.
To be honest, they all are. The NFL's a different game. But
I
more of a project than you want at 46 overall?
A little bit. I definitely think that I'd be stunned if he worked his way into the starting lineup as a rookie, unless they have an injury to Houston or Ford or somebody along those lines. And I would assume that Tano Passanio is going to play over him too, going into year two. But hey, if Speaks is a guy that at least on pass rushing downs can give him four to maybe six sacks this year, then that's not going to be a bad pick, and I think he might be ready to do that. I'm not sold he's going to fit in where they think he's going to fit.
All right, we're coming to the end of our first hour. Cole Craig is going to stay with us into the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to continue to break down the Chiefs draft, Breland Speaks, Derek Nnadi, and Dorian O'Daniel, and we'll look ahead to today's day three players who might be available who could fit with the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, 2 hours still to go. Still have Kurt Heelan from NBCSports.com with NBA and Andy Edwards, NBCSports.com, talking Sporting KC. So all that's still to come. But Cole Craig is sticking around. You're listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.